Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to talk about the March for Life and how you can participate in it. Hope you will stick around. Emily Leadham and Eric Gallagher, that conversation this morning. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Kelly Bartman with the first and second reading, and Deacon John Devlin with the gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, shout with joy for Jacob, exult at the head of the nations, proclaim your praise and say, the Lord has delivered his people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them back from the land of the north. I will gather them from the ends of the world, with the blind and the lame in their midst, the mothers and those with child. They shall return as an immense throng. They departed in tears, but I will console them and guide them. I will lead them to brooks of water on a level road so that none shall stumble. For I am a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, every high priest is taken from among men and made their representative before God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He is able to deal patiently with the ignorant and erring, for he himself is beset by weakness, and so for this reason must make sin offerings for himself as well as for the people. No one takes this honor upon himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, it was not Christ who glorified himself in becoming high priest, but rather the one who said to him, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. Just as he says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, son of David, have pity on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you. He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man replied to him, Master, I want to see. Jesus told him, go your way, your faith has saved you. Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the South Dakota State University Concert Choir and Wind Symphony will be the featured artists for the start of the Sacred Art Series. The performers will be featured next Monday, November 5th at 7 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Joseph in Sioux Falls. There is free admission for the program, although a free will offering will be accepted. The SDSU Concert Choir, under the direction of Dr. Laura Diddle, will be joined by the SDSU Wind Symphony, directed by Dr. Jacob Wallace, for the performance. The two ensembles will fill the cathedral with choral and instrumental music on a grand scale. You can read and see more about the Sacred Arts Series and its first performance of the year in the October edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, when an individual, a family, a group, or a church wants to pack a small box of Christmas joy for a needy child, we tell them, welcome to the world of joy, because everyone who gives joy receives joy in return, said the president of Cross Catholic Outreach in Boca Raton, Florida. Jim Kavner spoke about the agency's Box of Joy program, now in its fifth year, in a question and answer provided to news media. Those who get involved in the program choose a recipient by age from 2 to 14 and by gender, and then pack small items for that child in a shoebox-sized box. Items can include small toys like dolls and race cars, essentials like soap, pencils, toothpaste, and toothbrushes, as well as a few treats like hard candy and coloring books. Participants include $9 in each box to cover $7 shipping and $2 to support the ministries of those working with the children who are in Haiti, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Dominican Republic, and as of this year, El Salvador. Yurka Salazar, a quality assurance specialist for Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Miami, Florida, was just a toddler when 1992's Category 5 Hurricane Andrew left a trail of destruction south of Miami. But Salazar doesn't remember much about that historic storm, whose wind strength is being compared to this year's Hurricane Michael and its cataclysmic impact on parts of the Florida Panhandle. But Salazar said she will remember the destruction Michael has wrought. This was my first time to volunteer in providing disaster relief firsthand, and for me it was a great experience to be that face and to be those hands that work with the community and actually being able to say to people, we have food and we have diapers and we have water, Salazar told the Florida Catholic newspaper, the Archdiocese of Miami. She was part of a four-person team from Catholic Charities of Miami to do a four-day fact-finding and needs assessment during the week of October 15th in three or four rural and coastal areas of the Florida Panhandle. Hurricane Michael's October 10th landfall brought near Category 5, strength winds when it came ashore at Mexico Beach, Florida, near Panama City and on the Florida Gulf Coast. 2 weeks after the storm came ashore, Michael's death toll had risen to 29 in Florida alone and a total of 39 across the southern United States. Much of the impacted region remains without power and clean water. As frequent terror attacks continue in northeastern Kenya, Catholic bishops and priests are warning that the acts are posing threats to missions and their work. That caution amplified recently when suspected Al-Shabaab militants killed two Christian teachers in Mandera, a county near the Somali border. The assailants blasted a roadside bomb at a house occupied by four non-local teachers in Arabia Boys Secondary School, killing two. This is yet another incident when innocent Christian workers have become targets. Father Alfred Muthiri, the priest in charge of Our Lady of Consolation Cathedral in Garissa, told Catholic News Service. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Lots of troubled areas.
It's very sad.
We'll keep praying for them. That's our news this morning. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Eric Gallagher and Emily Leadham. We're going to talk about the March for Life 2019. The Diocese of Sioux Falls has been participating in the March for Life with attendees for quite a few years now. I'm not sure exactly how many, but
It's been five or six,
maybe. A few bus trips worth, some very interesting history along the way, which we hope not to repeat in 2019. It may seem early to be talking about this, and yet it's not, because I know organization takes time, and if people are interested in participating, you want to hear from them, right?
Yeah, it'll be right around the corner.
Yeah. So, first of all, let's talk about that. If people want to participate, what do they do?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and we'll talk about that again at the end.
Yeah, like you said, the diocese has been taking pilgrims for probably the last 5 or 6 years. It might almost be 6 or 7. We've really kind of been reaching out to different parishes, different areas within the different regions within the diocese. So Aberdeen, Yankton, Watertown have all been actively participating, as well as Sioux Falls. So you can kind of go with a group, come with a group on our buses, or you can come just as an individual as well. And all of that information is on our website, sfcatholic.org/respectlife, and you'll see a little link to the March for Life. But for youth or adults, really, we kind of advertise this trip as open to anyone. We do have a lot of youth that come because it's a powerful experience for youth, and you'll see a lot of youth there. But we've also had just adults, you know, that this has kind of been on their bucket list. They've watched maybe the coverage for the past 40 years, and have a desire to participate and to really see it up close. And so we have adults that come as well.
Eric, you've done a couple of these trips, I know, through the years, and you are the, I don't know what the right term is. You're the guide this year, or whatever, the escort, or whatever the right term is, right?
Yes, it's an exciting trip that, I mean, for all the adults, the biggest complaint, I think, is always the bus ride.
Of course.
As a 6-foot man myself, that's the troublesome part. But it's part of the pilgrimage. I think it's really, as the youth guy in the diocese, I think the gift of this, like with anything, is you find these small pockets of communities around the diocese And it, with this pilgrimage, especially, they gather around a specific cause, and sometimes it's driven by a person or two that they're very passionate about it. But it's a great way to invite people into that, have an experience together, and then grow together as a community.
I've been privileged over the years to talk to some of the folks after they come back, and it's always a there's no universal experience in the sense of a common experience. Everybody's got a unique story to tell about their experience of participating in this.
Yeah, I think there's so many little moments that happen along the pilgrimage. You know, laughing about, I was speaking to a group of youth last week about the march and said, you know, the bus drive is really a difficult part. And one of the youth said, I've gone the past few years, I always thought the bus ride was really fun, you know? And for her, that was one of the really powerful experiences, was actually being on the bus with these, you know, friends that she came with and the conversations that came along with the time together on the bus. But you're watching thousands and thousands and thousands of people at the march itself. Mm-hmm. And there's just little scenarios that I think stick out to people, whether they see a young family holding a newborn baby saying, you know, holding a sign that says, we've adopted. Or a couple years ago, I saw an elderly man and his, you know, grown son walking up the hill on Constitution Avenue, this old man holding his walker and the son saying, you know, Dad, do you want to get off? And the dad just being so determined, no, I'm going to make it. This mm-hmm. is worth it. And because there's all of these scenarios that are happening around us, I think you're exactly right. There's no universal experience, because God uses so many different little things to touch pilgrims along the way.
Is that your experience too, Eric?
Yeah, I think the experience is, it's very common where it's a very serious issue. It's a painful issue, especially with the emphasis on abortion but it's a hope-filled and joyful, peaceful. It's a unique dynamic that I don't think our culture, especially our young people, are exposed to often, which yeah. is to really fight for something, but to do it peacefully and heartfelt. And I think just that being surrounded by so many people, that's the power, I think, behind the march itself is just the number of people, but the commonality is there's just a peace about it. It's at the same time of this interior war going on, which is, I think, the opposite of what we see in the climate of our culture today.
It's interesting. I just had this conversation with Bishop with Bishop Swain about something completely different. But it's the hope within the challenge, isn't it? It's that we know that our hope is in Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate victor, and yet we have this incredibly difficult challenge. So that juxtaposition of those two things together is there's something about that.
And I think when you hear a testimony of someone or a witness from someone that you know or maybe have seen around, and they live with such joy and peace, and then you find out the hardship that yeah. they've been through, I think it's why that's so moving, because I think our natural response is to be angry or something outward that's louder. Yeah. And I think we're moved when we encounter that peacefulness amidst the conflict.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something about that, which, you know, goes to the very question of, you know, abortion itself. So often it's desperation that seems to drive people to that, and it doesn't need to be that way.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the joy, you know, Eric just mentioned the word joy of the march. It's we want to assist. Not only do we want to stop abortion from happening, we want to assist moms that are scared, parents that are scared, fathers that are scared, and to really present this in a joyful way that says, hey, it happens, and you're loved, and let's work through this, and this life is actually going to bring abundant goodness, and this life is worth it, and this life has value, and yes, it's going to be hard, and yes, it's going to be, you know, like I said, just maybe not the plan, and yet there's goodness mm-hmm. in this. You know, God makes all things work together for his good. And that's the real spirit of joy that I think underlies the whole thing.
I love the picture that I saw that accompanied the story that announced the theme for this year. But the sign, excuse me, the sign says, to the woman who thinks abortion is her only option, it's not. You know, there's other options.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a couple years ago, the theme was adoption is an option. And I know I've shared this story throughout the course of Respect Life Month and that kind of thing in the past, but we had a pilgrim come along with us a few years ago that was adopted. And she just shared her journey being on the March for Life and coming to recognize that for a long time she'd been wounded. You know, why did my parents give me up? Why did my birth mom not want me? And after the march, having this profound experience to say, it's because I'm loved. Because she loved me so much, she gave me life. And that's the message, I think, really, of the March for Life is life is good. And there's joy and there's hope in that.
I remember, I think it was a father and a daughter that traveled together from
Yankton
for the March for Life. And, that's also an interesting dynamic. What happens sometimes within families because of maybe the time to have the conversations, maybe just the time spent together, or the experience of having this, experience together is meaningful.
I can think of five different parent-child, families that have come along, maybe one parent and one child or two children, and they seem to have the most profound experience, I think, of anyone, because there really is this deep gratitude that they experience toward one another, this deep love and this recognition of God has really given us a great gift in one another.
Well, I think it highlights family, right? That's what this is all about.
It unites them into, I think, just the theme, the spirit of the whole pilgrimage. It brings people together in a deeper unity with a value system that's just, it's an underlining thing that's not talked about much.
Yeah.
So when families come together, it's you get to have that experience and you don't have to say many words, but you're brought closer together as a result.
I think you're right, Eric, that this is one of those topics that's hard to talk about. And this gives us an avenue to do it.
Yeah, it's a challenging thing to talk about because a lot of the questions that we have, it's not easy to find answers, and people aren't experts in all these different areas. And that's a big part of the pilgrimage, I think, is just really being surrounded with a lot of the material, the content, the education that just kind of opens, especially the young people on the trip, up to this whole world of, I just didn't even know this existed. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't have answers, you can at least, you have found a people, a spirit that you can cling to and know that there are answers. And that will drive you then to further growth and education and whatever else you need, especially as you encounter people who specifically need assistance in this area.
Yeah, sometimes, as Emily said, the unexpected happens. And when it does, if you have a grounding in your faith already, boy, that can make all the difference in the world, right?
And that support system. And I think that's one of the great beauties of the march is you're coming together with a community of people that are saying, we can be this support system. There was a fantastic video that just came out a couple weeks ago from a gentleman in Minnesota. And he just talked about, okay, pro-life movement, are we ready for a change? Can we actually handle if Roe versus Wade is someday overturned, basically? Are we ready for that? Mm-hmm. And it was just a really convicting, beautiful video about we have to put our money where our mouth is. We need to really embrace the fact that we're not just pro-birth, we're really pro-life. Mm-hmm. And that requires sacrifice. And that requires an ability to say that, life is good and it's worth it. The inconvenience, quote unquote, that is often kind of the word that's thrown around. The inconvenience is worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, and don't we all know that? I mean, you guys are parents. You wouldn't give up a single one of your children because you know what happens in those relationships. Each one unique with each child. That's privilege. It's not inconvenience. It's privilege.
Pure gift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think every parent faces that initial moment with every child's. How are we going to do this?
Yeah, of course, of course.
You can have all the resources in the world. You can have all the money, but still, like, there's something very human about it that makes you feel insecure. And so, I think the evil one is very well aware of that. And I think that's where we find this battle. But I think it's important for everyone just to admit, like, It is. It's a beautiful gift, but any gift comes with its own responsibility as well. And children, yes, yeah. We know.
Yeah, yeah.
And lots of wrapping, and they can be a little messy, and they can be a little difficult.
They can be a lot messy.
Yeah. Yeah, no
and a lot it. Difficult.
Yeah.
And I'm not denying any of
yeah.
that. And
Amen.
I still use the word privilege.
Yeah,
because I believe that, and without denying any of the challenges.
Yeah, amen. Yeah,
absolutely so. I want to talk a little bit about the theme for this year. There's every year the March for Life has a theme, and this theme I think is an interesting one. It's unique from day one, pro-life is pro-science. And, you know, you go, well, gee, that seems kind of, you know, I don't know, not very warm and fuzzy.
Yeah,
right?
seems a little sterile or something, yeah.
And yet, there's something about the truth of that that's really important for people to hear.
Yeah, I'm really excited to kind of hear what they have a rally at the beginning of the march every year that kind of addresses the theme. And so when I saw that come out, I was really excited to see what some of the speakers were going to draw on in that regard. But one of the things that initially came to my mind is, you know, some of the... you're going to need to help me with the word, fertility treatments and that kind of thing that are reproductive technologies. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
That are out there. You know, we as Christians should have some pretty grave concerns about, what we're doing to human life. And so I'm really curious to know if that's going to be something that's kind of incorporated into the conversation, and the reality too, that, science more and more is recognizing the undoubtable fact that life begins at conception.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be really interesting.
Probably the focus yeah. as much as anything is that, because to deny that at this point is pretty unscientific.
And what a gift it is after so many years. I think people have been waiting for that.
Yeah.
We've had bits and pieces. It's grown. But to be able to confidently, especially name that the theme, like
yeah.
we're there,
yeah.
we've arrived, we can prove it.
Yeah.
Is an incredible gift.
Yeah. And I think, as you guys talk about the young people that go, you know, I think they're looking for that. They're looking for they're looking for the emotion. They're looking for the moments of inspiration, but the academic side, the science side is pretty important to the young people as well.
Yeah, we can go so far with the relationship with the adults that they're with. They can be that influence. And I going around the diocese and working with a lot of volunteer youth leaders and such, like you have the men who say, well, I'm just going to teach them what's right.
Yeah.
There's still a point where they're surrounded by other things and they start to ask questions.
Yeah, that's my
point. So if we can attach the information to it as well and prove ourselves in a sense beyond just our own example, it's just added benefit, I think.
Yeah, I think it's important because, you know, the secular world keeps saying, well, if you can't prove it, it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay,
mm-hmm.
Here you go.
Bishop Barron recently did an interview kind of closing out the Synod on Youth, and his comments regarding his observation that youth are really attracted to, don't water it down, mm-hmm. essentially is what he was saying. He said, well, youth are really attracted to the academic. They're attracted to the intellectual. They're attracted to kind of the richness and the fullness. And I think that's kind of this next step in where the March for Life as a movement is really going, is this isn't something to be watered down. We really need to get into the issues, the political, the sociological, the psychological issues that are accompanying this conversation. And I think youth are hungry for it.
Sometimes we don't know quite how to label things or address things, and people will do it for us if we don't. I want people to understand this is not really a political event. I mean, there's a political aspect to it, I suppose, but this is a religious event in most ways, at least from what I see of it. Am I thinking about that right?
Yeah, the pilgrimage itself, like the event itself or the march itself, it's interesting because I think even our groups tend to walk around and they just assume everyone there is Catholic.
Yeah.
it's not a specifically Catholic event.
Right.
There's a lot of Catholics, but not just, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, now there's definitely a stage and there's definitely a place for politicians that are trying to do their thing, but that's the pregame thing, it seems. Like the march is, there's just, again, something about the march, like there's really nothing. It's quiet.
Yeah.
It's prayerful. And the march itself is just so unique. And I think we get hyped up for the march itself, but the march itself is a quiet march of prayer.
Prayerful
and
march.
And it's a unique
I was next
dynamic.
To a drum line last year. So.
Not that quiet.
And then a bunch of Franciscan brothers dancing. So,
so not that quiet.
So not I think quiet. It might depend on where you're at amidst your 100,000 people crowd.
Well, the key but for yes. me, guys, is that you keep using the word pilgrimage, right? Mm-hmm. That suggests it's something very different than what people might think of as a typical political rally or a trip or a vacation or anything else. It's a pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm.
That means something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the things that often comes to my mind in regard to pilgrimage is this spirit of sacrifice, this spirit of putting something else before my own needs. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that we encourage pilgrims to do throughout the journey. It's a packed trip. You know, it's you're going kind of nonstop with a little bit of free time to go see the monuments and whatever, but even then you're walking.
Right.
So I think we really do try and kind of instill that in our pilgrims and this we're here for something bigger. This isn't just about a trip to Washington, D.C. It's why are we here? What are we doing here?
And yet the setting for it is perfect because mm-hmm. we are at the seat of, you know, of the nation's mm-hmm. government mm-hmm. and all the things about that. Unfortunately, we're out of time again, guys, this morning. It goes so fast. But if you could repeat one more time, if folks are interested in participating in the pilgrimage this year, what's the best route?
Yeah, check us out online on the website, sfcatholic.org/respectlife. Or you can feel free to call our office and just ask about the March for Life. They'll get you directed to the right spot. And we'll kind of find if there's a group near you that you'd like to go with, if you have a youth going that would like to go with other youth. Or like I said, we do take individual registrations as well. We'd be happy to have anybody that wants to join us.
Great event. Look forward to it. Hope it's another great success. Eric, good luck in the leading of it.
Thank you.
All right. Eric Gallagher and Emily Leadham, thanks so much for being with us. Jane, a reminder, we have a holy day coming up, holy day of opportunity, as you like to tell us.
Exactly. That's something I learned a long time ago, and it is a great opportunity to come and pray and to worship and to be part of the church and the church community.
You know, November is so important that we remember all souls, we remember all saints. It's a time of memory.
It is. It's a great time to pray and to be involved in your community and in your parish.
You wanted to mention also the Sacred Art Series.
That's coming up again. That's a week from Monday, tomorrow, Monday, November 5th at 7 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Joseph. It is open to the public. There is no formal admission charge, but they will accept a free will offering.
Those are wonderful events. That cathedral is just a perfect place for sound like that.
That's exactly right. This is several years now that they've been doing this, and it's a great, great program.
All right. Well, that's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. Please join us again next Sunday morning.